This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, we now bring you a discussion on Prime Minister's address to the nation on the occasion of 78th Independence Day. The participants are Sandeep Phukan, political analyst, and Anubha Rohtagi, anchor.
Prime Minister Narendra Modi addressed the nation today from the ramparts of Red Fort in New Delhi on India's 78th Independence Day. He spoke on issues ranging from goals for shaping India's growth, enhancing urban living quality, crimes against women, electoral reforms and the space sector. To discuss the Prime Minister's speech, I'm now joined by political analyst Sandeep Phukan. Mr. Phukan, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Mr. Phukan, Prime Minister Modi delivered his 11th consecutive Independence Day speech today. This was the first speech in his third term as Prime Minister. How would you describe the overall address and the major issues that he spoke about?
As one expects in an Independence Day speech, the Prime Minister always lays down the roadmap for his government. I would say that if I were to break down the speech, I would break it down as in three parts. One part was the part that laid down the vision of the roadmap, the blueprint for his government to follow in the next 5 years. One part was basically taking stock of what has been done and what needs to be done, so challenges. And the third part is the ideological part, you can call it ideological or political, where the Prime Minister spoke his mind, those issues, you know, on issues like secular civil code. He used the word secular civil code instead of uniform civil code or one nation, one election. So I would say overall, the theme of the Independence Day speech was essentially what should India do to become Viksit Bharat, a developed India, by 2047. We still have 23, 24 years to reach that milestone. And what should be done really to sort of achieve that goal of India becoming a developed nation by 2047. But he did give a broad what he expects his government to do in terms of policy initiatives to achieve that goal.
Like you just said, that of course the theme of Mr. Modi's speech this year was Viksit Bharat at 2047. And this theme has been part of his speeches over the last few years we have seen. So can you elaborate on the issues that he spoke about to achieve this goal?
So for example, he spoke at length about reforms, economic reforms. He started with banking reforms and he said that how some of the Indian banks are among the topmost banks across the world. He used the word that, you know, when he talks about economic reforms, it's not under compulsion, but yes, it's because of his conviction. He said, "Majbuti se karte hain, majburi se nahi." So it's not as if that you're undertaking reforms. I think he used the word that it's not just for the editorials or the pink papers or the business papers, but it's something that we believe in, and that's why we are undertaking this reform, because we believe that this is the path to take to achieve that goal. So he talked about the recent budget allocating 1 lakh crore for innovation and research. And he also mentioned that this is the amount that is required to translate ideas that our youth have, to translate the ideas into reality. So to put them on the ground from the idea that youth may have in terms of startup, in terms of initiatives, entrepreneurship that they take, the youth. Then he also talked about it's a small thing, but you know, I took note of it. Prime Minister said that in manufacturing, the product quality should be so good that Indian standard should become international standard. Yeah. What did he mean? I can't second guess the Prime Minister, but one can assume that when he says that Indian standard should become international standard, it simply means that your quality of production should be so good that you actually set the standard. For example, when we talk about, say, automotive engineering or automobiles, we, in our common day use, we always say that it's, you know, the class of German engineering or the class of Japanese technology. When you mention that Japanese technology or German engineering, you know that it comes with an impeccable record. So he expects the same kind of record from Indian manufacturers, so that when you talk about an Indian product, it's the last word. I mean, we have certain products like Indian tea, textiles, but I mean, why not to other things? Then he talked about, at several places, he mentioned Industry 4.0. He mentioned about effort at skilling, because we have a huge population that can be skilled very well to actually become a production powerhouse. Then he talked about making India an industrial manufacturing hub. So he talked about ease of living. So
he spoke about semiconductor production also.
Yes,
and
yes,
he spoke about design in India, design for the world.
Yes. In fact, that was a very specific mention, that he said that design in India and design for the world. So look, this is not something, I mean, this should have actually been thought about or given emphasis on long ago, because India had established itself as a IT power hub or superpower, if you like it. So, I mean, we are an IT powerhouse. It's our IT guys are everywhere across the world. So, this should have been the natural course, you know, that you design product in India for the world and make use of your intellectual power that you have, the software that you have, the manpower that you have. So, as to take benefit of this. So I think these are things that if it is reiterated from the ramparts of the Red Fort by none other than the Prime Minister himself, sends a signal that these are the areas where we need to work on. So individual ministries, let's say responsible for policy making, will actually get the direction that these are the things that their ministries need to work on. The IT ministry, for example, can take a cue and then incentivize things like product designing, graphic designing, these kind of things that incentivize policy. You take a cue from the Prime Minister's speech. I mean, that's how I would look at it.
Yes, because we're talking about the fact that he talked about making India the manufacturing hub also as well. And India is the fastest growing economy. One of the other thing that I noticed about his speech that I thought was very important is that he called upon the state governments to establish clear policies to attract investments. And we see that FDIs are being attracted to India, you know.
Yeah, I think that's really very important. For example, he actually said that there should be a very healthy competition between states to attract foreign investment. Because see, at the end of the day, India as a whole, the industrial policy or the foreign investment policy will be made by the central government, by the union government. But eventually, player has to come and set up, I'm talking about an international investor, a foreign company, let's say a car manufacturing company. A car manufacturing company will come and set up its plant somewhere in one of the states. And so that state has to offer various things. It has to offer good access to markets, good connectivity, but most importantly, it has to provide land.
The infrastructure,
yeah. You will have to provide land for a factory, then a surrounding area for housing, then law and order, safety, because you see, nobody is going to come to your state if your state is always caught up in some kind of turmoil or disturbances. So that is why he said that the government of India will make policies, but those policies can be successful because eventually, you know, it is a state that will implement those policies in terms of actual physical infrastructure and inviting foreign investor to set up its factory or plant or their offices. So that is why it's so important that states do their work and reach out to foreign players, and many of the states do. You know, at the end of the day, the states also have a sort of their own self-interest because A, they generate revenue, B, they also, from investments, they get money, they also create jobs. So it's like a win-win situation for the states also. The investment policy is made by the center, what kind of exemptions are given to a foreign investor. But that investment policy, you know, the physical setup is always sort of the actual factory or actual office or an IT park or an IT office has to be set up in a particular state.
Yes.
So that's what the Prime Minister actually highlighted, that we make the policy, but eventually it will be the state where the foreign investor has to come and set up a shop. And it's your duty to sort of help him set up his shop or his factory or his office easily, so that if the experience of one foreign investor is good, then many others will follow into your state. Yeah, and it's a healthy practice to generate competition among states.
Another important issue that the Prime Minister addressed today was crime against women and the need for a speedy probe into such incidents. He also spoke about the role of media when covering such incidents. In fact, he said that, you know, that when such incidents happen, the media covers it extensively, but when the perpetrators of such events, you know, are given punishment, it's not so discussed so much. So what is your thought on both these things?
This is very important. As I said once before as well, that his speech actually covered most of the contemporary issues that we are witnessing right now, this crime against women and the unfortunate incident in a medical college in West Bengal, in Kolkata, has been in the news. So, Prime Minister talked about, you know, women-led development, empowerment of women, and in that context, he also said that while all these things are happening, it's a reality that our women, our mothers, our sisters, and our daughters are not safe. And state governments, they need to work on this area seriously so that they do not feel unsafe and they feel secure. So I think it's a very important message. And the second part that you said is actually even more important, because he did point out that when the perpetrators of these crimes are actually handed out punishment, it's very important, because you see, when a protest is happening or when a crime has happened, then, you know, all your attention is on that crime story. And for a few days, that, you know, dominates the headlines. But after a few weeks, it disappears. And as we know, that the legal process takes a long time for the perpetrators of that crime.
Yes.
To get punishment. But I think what the Prime Minister tried to indicate is that when that punishment is handed out, no matter how late it is, he said, jab saza hoti hai, to usse dikhaya kich. So it means that saza can take place, I mean punishment can take place after a year also. But after a year, don't just let it be a footnote. Show it with equal importance. And so that it becomes a deterrent.
Yes.
If somebody is hanged for a rape that he has committed, show it again and again so that that becomes a deterrent. I mean, so that nobody even dares to think of such a thing. Right. That's the idea, I think, behind his speech.
The Prime Minister made a strong pitch for one nation, one election, arguing that frequent elections hinder national progress. How significant is this, not only from an electoral reform point of view, but also from an economic point of view?
I think he gave that logic. I mean, this is the economic argument has been fairly strong. So as I said earlier, that there were certain ideological parts to his speech. And this is certainly one of them. I think the reason why I'm saying this is ideological, because the third edition of Prime Minister Modi's government also has key allies whose political sort of opinion will have to be sought. But he still made it very clear that this is something that he believes in. He said that, you know, whenever you bring up a policy, the media says that this is over, this has been done for this election or that election. The thing is, the truth is that every 6 months there will be some election. We've just had the Lok Sabha elections, and then again now we are getting ready for the next round of elections in Maharashtra, Haryana, Jharkhand. Again, you'll have those elections, that this round of election, then certain policies will come under the model code of conduct and they will not be implemented, at least in those states. So I think this is the, it gets delayed. So that when certain things get delayed, then that has a cost factor as well. Of course, this is an issue that will require constitutional amendments. So, but still, he has actually made an appeal to all political parties that time has come to think about it seriously.
The Prime Minister called for a secular civil code as the need of the hour, and I quote him, to be free of discrimination on the basis of religion.
Right. Yeah, so again, this has been a long-standing demand of the BJP. As I said, this falls into the ideological part of the speech. Interesting that he mentioned, while coming to this, he mentioned that the Supreme Court has talked about uniform civil code, but the way he framed it as a secular civil code. He basically meant to say that, look, personal laws are, other than the different religions have their personal laws, and those personal laws are actually governed by that particular religion. He said that, you know, why should there be different laws? It should be, instead of using uniform, he said it should be a secular civil code, which means that all religions will have to follow the same code. So it's one and the same thing, but the way he framed it was different, and he called it a secular civil code. And he said that until we achieve that, I think the differences on the basis of religion will continue, and that's something that they want to add.
The emphasis that the present government places on relations with our neighboring countries was evident when Mr. Modi made remarks about, you know, pertaining to the situation in Bangladesh right now.
Yeah, it's very important. He actually mentioned about the minorities coming under attack in Bangladesh. But I would say equally important were his observations about challenges from outside. From, you know, he said that bhitar bhi challenge hai, bahar bhi chunautiya hai. There are challenges from outside as well. And he said that, you know, he didn't name anyone. He did not name any particular country or anyone. He said that those who feel that a developing India or a progressing India is a threat, I would like to assure you that India is the land of Buddha, and we've never forced a war on anyone, and you should not see us as a threat. So I think that was a message.
Mr. Phukan, thank you so much for coming to our studio and for this very informative discussion.
Thank you so much.
You were listening to a discussion on Prime Minister's address to the nation on the occasion of the 78th Independence Day. The participants were Sandeep Phukan, political analyst and Anubha Rohtagi, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani.